Yeah, the world says follow your heart, but the word says that man's heart is deceitful. So if you want to know where to go to God's word, not your heart. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Hectic. So I love that. I'm going to be talking about who Jesus was. And it's quite an ambitious topic, and I don't think we're going to finish tonight. Or maybe we'll just go on till late. But you've guys, it's a public holiday tomorrow, hey? So, yeah, okay, so we're good, okay. And obviously you guys are all super Christian, so you don't mind, like, a six-hour sermon, hey? No, I'm joking. Not even I can stand my voice for that long. So who was Jesus? You know, just to go back on where we've sort of been, it's been a interesting season for the church, and something that I've been experiencing in my own life, and I've talking to a few other people and they experience. There's a lot of upheaval and a bit of mixture stirring up the pots. You know, since Wednesday, I've been having like really random dreams that I can't remember, and I have many faults, but sleeping is not one of them. I can sleep like a log, like something dead, you know, need CPU to get me up in the morning. And but I've got a lot of restless sleep. CPU. Cestral. What's that thing? CPR. Thank the Lord I'm not called for the medical profession or computers. I'll stick with pastoring anyway. But either way, can't get up in the morning. But of late, been waking up like 4:30 in the morning, ungodly hour in the morning. And, you know, restless. A lot of other people are telling me, you know, same sort of thing. And the season that we are in the church is that we are being overturned, new grounds being turned in. Lots of things are being thrown into the mixing pot, and we're having to go back to this question, who was Jesus? Because we thought we knew, but I don't really know. I'm having my paradigm shifted, and you know, like I'd be a person and I'd go, yeah, you know, Mark, I can just see this cloud over you. There's a cloud, there's a dark cloud, you know. Okay, cheers, Mark, you know. And now things are turning more into, you know what, Mark, there's a great calling on your life to be a visionary and a leader. You know, that's who Jesus was. You know, Jesus was the guy who saw the rock in Peter, not the traitor. And I think that's where we're moving as a church, you know, is that we're starting to completely alter who we thought Jesus was, you know. And I loved what Tunda said, you know, he says that God wants to release give us a new heart, turn that heart of stone, you know, because it takes a heart of stone to always see the negative in people. It takes a hardened heart to always see the negative in people. Okay, so I'm going to go to, okay, so Jesus asks the disciples this question, who do you say I am? So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. That means Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. There are a few interesting points about this scripture we will get to in the moment. Instead, I'm going to ask JH to come share a quick testimony with us. JH. 2 minutes, JH. Weren't you there at intercession when we said?
Okay, the other night I was at the hospital and we were just praying for people again. And weird experience, we always ask for people, you know, do you know Jesus? And they were also like, yeah, we are, just bless us, you know, thank you for your blessing. But this night we had like two people that was just like open for that blessing. And we had some like a miraculous healings happening. That was like a, the one lady we got to at the end of the day, she wasn't even in the hospital all. She was there sitting in a row waiting for x-rays, but she had incredible like stomach pains. So we were just there, me and Johan were praying for her and just blessing her. You know, just when the Holy Spirit is in you, there's no place for like sickness and disease, you know. So we were blessing her and we were just trying these days just to pray for people and just to get them healed, not just to bless them and just walk away, you know, just to get full healing. And we were praying for her, and then I asked her, do you feel better? And she said, yes, and this warm feeling in your stomach. And I was like, I was a bit like 50%, and she said, yes. And we just continued praying till like it was gone, and then later it was gone. Amen.
Come on. Come on. Now back to the sermon. Thanks for interrupting me, Josh. No, I'm joking. there's a few interesting things I'd like to point out in the scripture. Have you ever read the Bible and thought, what a load of idiots the disciples are? There they were with Jesus. They saw all the miracles. They witnessed all this stuff. And like, there were just things that didn't click with them, you know? Like, when they were in the boat with Jesus in the storm and they're all getting scared, and Jesus gets up and says, why are you being scared? You know, don't you see who you're with? And you read that, you're like, yeah, come on, guys, you know, come on, man. You were with Jesus when he fed the 5,000. You were with him when he raised the synagogue leader's daughter from the dead, you know. Have you guys ever read the Bible and thought that, like, The disciples were not the cleverest bunch of people? And then when it came to arresting Jesus, you know, they all scattered, you know. They just scattered. Come on, guys. Just, you know. Because we take for granted, we're in a period after Jesus' death, right? We can agree Jesus died for our sins, right? And we often have to think, what was it like back then? And Amu has this great, great description for you. He says, if you went in a time machine and you went back then, you said, I have access to the full presence of God, they would kill you for blasphemy. Because then, in that day, you only had access to God's throne room once a year, and only if you were the high priest. That was the only time you came into the presence of God. And so the revelation that we have, and that we, if we can read the scriptures and we get it, do you understand that that is from the Father? Those guys did not have access to that revelation. That's why they never clicked on with these things. And Jesus says to Peter, he says, man has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Do you understand how special it is? Before this moment, Jesus had always called himself the Son of Man. He never went around, before this moment, he never went around saying that I'm the Christ. He waited until it was confirmed from somebody else, Peter, through his father. After that, he went and declared and said, I am the Son of God. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. It's interesting. Hey? And that's a great way, just on a side note, if you want to figure out who is a false prophet and who is not, a false prophet is going to go and blow his own trumpet and say, I am the Messiah, I am Jesus. Jesus is going to wait until his father does it for him. When he was baptized, who was it that said that he was the Son of God? It wasn't Jesus, it was his father. He said, this is my son. He didn't go around saying, I am the Christ, I am the Messiah, until it was a man, Peter, who had said it to him. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. And what did Jesus do back? This is a side note, but we'll get back. He didn't say, you know, Peter, you're a sinner. You're going to betray me. He did eventually. But what did he say in that moment? He said, Peter, you are the rock I'm going to build my church on. Upon this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the keys of heaven. And what you bind will be bound in heaven, and what you loose will be loosed in heaven. You know, do you think in that moment Jesus knew that Peter was going to betray him? I once asked a question to a mission leader of mine when I went to Japan about 3 years ago. I asked them, why was Judas condemned to go to hell? You know, it's kind of like he was just born to go to hell. I don't know if you've ever asked yourself, it's like kind of like, you know, he was born, and he was born to make this mistake and then go to hell. And the thing my mission leader said to me, imagine, you know, it's like Judas didn't do anything that the other disciples didn't do. They all betrayed him. They all left him when they needed him. Imagine if Judas had gone back to Jesus and asked for forgiveness. Imagine if he had had the courage to go back to Jesus. But we can always speculate, and I don't really have an answer, but I can only ask that question. I'm going to have another testimony from Elisna.
This is just so you know that I'm not a false prophet, because they applauded me. I didn't applaud myself. Oh, so I just thought about sitting there now. I just thought what I'll say is that I live by this one thing. There's this one sentence that I live by. It works for absolutely everything. Every question that I have, there's just this one sentence. Look at Jesus. That's how I live my life. And when I realized that, it changed my life. It just changed my life. So I don't know if this is a testimony, but I'm just, you know, I sort of believe that we, each one of us, is a word become flesh. Whatever is like a word that lives in you like that, like for me, it's look at Jesus. So I become the flesh of that. I live that. And, so how I live, I tell myself, you know, or when I pray, sometimes I say to God, like, God, I am not patient, but you are patient, and I'm not, whatever. I am angry, but you are not angry. I am afraid, but you are not afraid. And so that's what I live by.
Let's go to the next question. Who does Jesus say he is? John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What I like about this scripture, well, there's many things I like about this scripture, but let's go more. What I noticed about the scripture, particularly in light of the sermon, is that when Jesus discusses who he is, he doesn't talk about what he stands against or who he is against or what he is against. He says, this is who I am. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And it's powerful in the sense that not only, you know, when Jesus discusses who he is, he talks about the authority that has been given, his purpose, his mission. He doesn't say, you know, they ask who he is, and he doesn't say, I am the guy who's going to be judging you. You know, he is going to judge us eventually, but that's not who he defines himself as. He defines himself as the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God describes him as the light unto men. And we read in John verse 1, the light unto men that the darkness has not overcome. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. That is who Jesus is. That is what the word says he is. And but we define people by what they aren't, you know. And it's kind of like, I just want to use this, I think, since you hit my coloring in book, JH, you can be my volunteer as well. Yeah, we have a coloring in book. And this is like the word of God. And God gives you this word of God, the Bible, and he says, go preach the gospel. And so you use words, which are the crayons, and you always pick out the black crayon. You know, and then what you do, and this is what you're going to do, Judge. Okay, is that we don't color in the picture. We color in the outside. Color in all the outside. Not all of it, but just around it. There we go. You know, that's who we say Jesus is, you know. No, you know what? Jesus hates homosexuals. That's who he is. Jesus hates guys that look at pornography. That's who he is. You know, Jesus has come to condemn you. Jesus has come to tell you that you're a sinner. This is how we do the gospel. Huh? You get what I'm saying, you know? God says, go preach the gospel. We pick out the black crown, and then we color in everything that Jesus is not. Whereas, color in the fish for me, but use the bright colors. Your understanding of who Jesus was affects your standing with him. Hence, righteousness equals your right standing with God. The way you see Jesus is ultimately the way you see yourself. And you can tell by the way you see Jesus by how you describe him to other people. And here's the catch 22. Because Jesus lives inside of you, you're describing yourself, basically. Which means that you're the one always picking on your righteousness. But counterproductive, eh? Show for orange, nice. He's getting there. But I want to be defined for who I am. You know, not who I don't want to be. Does this make any sense? But you know, when I look at Nalita, on a serious note, I can, you know, she is very particular about the way she does her work, you know, and she has a spirit of excellence about her, and I can either go, oh, you know, Nalita, you're killing my style, you know, I just want to be free and stuff, and you're giving me stuff, admin and stuff, you know. Give JH a hand. But, you know, do you understand my illustration? Illustration. See, it's an actual. This is how we describe who Jesus was. This is how we're supposed to describe how Jesus was. Fish and whale. Anyway. I could go on some like prophetic meaning about the fish and the whale, but I won't bore. But I can either choose to see all the things that Nalita is not, like, you know, Nalita is, she just irritates me with all her admin stuff. Or I can say, you know, Nalita, you have a spirit of excellence, and I want that anointing on my life because I need to learn stewardship, you know. Come pray for me. No, seriously. No, come now.
Anyone else, if you want to receive this, stretch out your hands. Thank you, Jesus, that we can just bless Luke, Lord, with just a stewardship, Lord, and Father God, that you will just teach him more and more to be diligent in his work, Lord, and to steward what you've given him, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that he is an amazing adminer, Lord. Thank you that he is going to excel in doing admin, Father God, and not because it's something that's naturally within him, but because you bless him with that, Lord. And thank you for everyone here, Lord, that you can help us access what we don't see in ourselves, Father God. Thank you for that, in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Nalita. See, that is the gospel there. You know, I choose to see Jesus inside of her. I don't choose to see all the things that, you know, she needs to work on. It's not my job. My job is a ministry of reconciliation. It is not a ministry of judgment. My job is to bring people towards Jesus. And I'm not going to be able to tell them who Jesus was if I'm describing everything that Jesus is not. From the article, Sexy Christian, I read this the other day. It was interesting. But my fear is that it flirts with the edge. He's talking, let me just give you a bit of background before I go. Okay, so this guy is talking about, you know, how Christianity is sort of becoming hip and cool, you know, and it's you know, you go to your cafe, order a cappuccino, blog about how awesome Jesus was, post on Facebook your verse for the day. And, you know, he's talking about how dangerous it is because we're becoming more about the style than the Christianity. It was very interesting. I'm going to read a little excerpt just to, so sort of get you into the idea. But my fear is that it flirts with the edge and settles for the empty statistics of a cultural ego trip. Thirsty to hear people say, wow, you're doing great things for God. It says, I've got style, I've got heart, and when our style starts to get a little too close to our heart, our faith begins to become as skin deep as the skinny jeans we like to wear. And the problem with this article is that there's a lot of truth in it. But you know what? So what? I used to be exactly like this, and I'm still a little bit like that. You know, I don't mind going to go plant the flag for Christianity, just as long as a bunch of people can see it. I've got that thing where I struggled for a long time to go and do praise and worship because I wanted the attention. You know, and in ways I still do, but I'm not going to focus on that. And when I talk to somebody, and the reason why this article irritated me is not because it wasn't pointing out things that aren't true. It is true. There are a lot of people who do things for the name, and it's culturally acceptable. And you wonder if you put them in the same environment where Christianity wasn't accepted, would they thrive? But it's not my job to tell them what they're doing wrong. I'm going to tell them who Jesus was. I'm going to tell them what Jesus stood for, what he lived for, and hopefully they will follow that. It's not my job to point out things that are wrong. On an Easter Sunday, I want to read an article about how awesome Jesus was and what he did in my life. And what I'm thinking was, when this guy was writing this, was ironically he wrote it probably at a cafe on his blog. No, but I'm sure Jesus loves him. So can you identify? I want to plant the flag of Jesus just as long as people can see me do it. I'm scared if I'm too awesome, I'll steal God's glory. I keep falling away from God, so I don't think I should go back to him until I figure things out. I don't feel like I can voice an opinion about spiritual things because I feel like such a sinner all the time. Most of the words I get for people allow them to see what's wrong in their lives. Can anybody identify with these things? I can identify with basically all of them. That's why I wrote them down. But these things tell me where I'm at. They don't tell me where I'm going to be going. And I know this. And I'm sure you guys know what's wrong in your life. I don't need to tell you that. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out what's wrong in your life. It doesn't take a Christian to figure out what's wrong in your life. What it takes is a child of God, a son of God, to find treasure where other people see dirt. It takes people who are willing to dig to find what's important. This is who Jesus was. He didn't come and tell me what a sinner I am. He came and told me, Luke, there is life and life in abundance. You know, you can live to the fullest. You know, I've given you authority, all things on earth, Luke. I've given you a gift of wisdom, Luke, to speak into people's lives. Luke, your name means luminous, to bring light, bringer of light, to bring enlightenment to people through the word of God. That is who you are, Luke. That's who I am. I don't have a problem saying that. I know who I am in Jesus. I want another testimony from Christopher. Christian, sorry. Yes, I'm not on it today.
Hello, I'm Christian, not Christopher. My English is not very good, but I will try my best. 2 years ago, I got some frikies on my legs, 54 of them, and doctors couldn't heal me or get me better. So I decided to take a week and get my relationship with God better. But after 2 weeks, I don't have any frikie on my leg left.
So this is the age we live in, you know, where people are talking about everything that they stand against, not what they stand for. People are saying in other people's lives what you're doing wrong, not what you're doing right. And basically we're being asked these questions. Wait, we'll go back there. These questions. Are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Are you the optimist? Or are you the critic? Are you the light to my path, or are you the guy pointing out the shadows? Are you defined by what you stand for, defined by what you stand against? I'm going to just go back to that scripture. It's a really cool scripture. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The cool thing about this scripture is that it presupposes that we are in darkness. I know the things that are wrong in my life. I don't need you to tell me. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts me and leads me towards repentance. Trust me, the Holy Spirit's on my case all the time. I'm quite a sinner. I don't need your help. What I want you to be is I want you to be Jesus in my life. I want you to be that light, that lamp, the light into my path, the lamp unto my feet. So which are you going to be? Are you going to be Captain Obvious and point out all the shadows? Are you going to be Jesus? Are you going to show the light? What has Jesus done in your life? Has he condemned you for where you are? As he says, I've overcome. I've lived. Because the whole salvation story is not about how Jesus died on the cross. It's important. It's critical. He died for your sins. He died to bring you new life. But the emphasis, the crux of the salvation story is how he rose from the dead on this day, Sunday. Friday was the day he died. That day is past. Today is Sunday. Today is the day he overcame. He rose from the dead. He died. Now he overcame. He conquered. And because he lives in us, we have that same. You've conquered. I've conquered. When you got saved, those things were conquered in your life. There's no point in me hanging on to what is dead. When we get saved, our old self dies. We have a new life in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come, so to speak. And we need to do that for other people. We need to accept, and when we come across a Christian, we need to accept that their old self has died. And the only people still pointing out their dead bodies is us. Are we going to show them the new life, the light, the path? Are we going to light their path for them? That is what we have to do as Christians. So back to those same questions. Which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the Mary who accepts that she is righteous, that she is okay, and she can go sit at Christ's feet? Or do you want to be the Martha, the busybody, the one who's always working, running around, trying to solve your own righteousness? Do you want to be the optimist or the critic? The Lord knows I need to work on my love for optimists, but there's something about them. You know, there's something about the people who always see the good in people, who always see what is right. They always see the silver lining in the clouds. Are you going to be the guy who's going to light up my path, or are you going to show me where the shadows are? Are you going to be defined by what you stand for, or defined by what you stand against? But lastly, will you be defined by what you think Jesus sees wrong in you, or by what he has made right in you? Because the way you speak about other people's, to me, it's just a reflection of how you see yourself. If you, there's a guy, one of my best friends in Stellenbosch, his name is Jacobus van Sail, and he said to me, is that people are very harsh on themselves and they think it gives them the right to be harsh on other people. And how true is that? The way I see other people, the way I speak to other people is a reflection on how I see myself. And therefore, it's a direct reflection on my righteousness with God. And I was talking with Tunda and two other friends of ours the other day, and we were talking about the goodness of God, and it was a great night. There's definitely God's presence there. But we said that God's presence rests on his righteous sons and daughters. And how we see ourselves is directly portrayed by how we see other people. You want to see if people have the fear of God. how they talk about other people, how they think about other people, especially the people lower than themselves, weaker than themselves. Because Jesus says that how you treat these least of me is how you've treated me. So the way you speak to other people and think about other people, it directly, you are speaking to Jesus. You are speaking about Jesus. Think about that. How you treat the least of these is how you treated me. If that does not put the fear of God in you, then I don't know what will. You can always tell somebody's character by how they treat people they don't actually need to treat well. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Hey, that's a cool verse. Just to get into the Easter theme. Why are you looking for the dead things in other people? Why can't you let go of it? They have a hard enough time trying to let go of themselves. Why can't you let go of it themselves? That's not who Jesus was. He didn't say, Paul, you're a traitor. You're such a sinner. Peter, you're such a sinner. Clive, you're such a sinner. You're all sinners. Clive, can you come give us a testimony?
Okay, I have 2 minutes. So before the time, I thought, what testimony will I share? And the Lord just said to me, I need to share another one. So I never was a, like, perfect sinner. I was a good sinner. So I swore sometimes, and that's about it. I didn't do anything else. I was raised in a Christian home, but I never knew the Lord. So in grade 6, I was like, okay, cool. There truly needs to be more. And I gave my heart to the Lord, all that other stuff. But then through the whole process, the Lord just told me, never date just a girl just to date her. And then what happened is I was like, okay, cool, Lord, but I want this in the girl I want to marry. And I want all of this criteria. So I had like a huge checklist. So in worldly terms, it would have never been met. So I turned 21, still never dated anyone. Yeah, and I'm like, Lord, remember I asked that. And I know you know my heart's desires and you will truly just fulfill it. And then after that, the Lord just started changing my identity and just showing me my identity in Him. And then after a while, I said, okay, cool, Lord, just again, I'm still here, I'm still single, turning 21, doing honors. And then the Lord just brought my current girlfriend, or my only girlfriend, on my path. And like, we were obviously first friends. That's how the way you start dating. You don't just date, you first, yeah. So yeah, basically, it started with a checklist from top to bottom, and she just fulfilled all those criteria. Okay, so that's my time. 10 seconds. So I just want to say that the Lord truly just meets all the requirements that we have, and that He truly just knows our hearts. Okay.
What a champ. How many of you today heard a testimony where somebody said, guy came to me and told me I have a big problem with stabbing people, and it changed my life. How many testimonies have you ever heard in your life where a guy said, somebody came and told me that I steal, and it really made me feel bad, and then I met Jesus? I've never heard a testimony like that. I've heard testimonies about healing. I've heard testimonies about the things that encourage you to get by, how God provides. And I think Clive will agree with me. There's Monica. She's my girlfriend. She's amazing. And I can talk to her and I can say, Monica, you're great, but you need to work on your sandwich making skills. You can tell me my relationship is not going to last very long. Or the girls. That's great. Yeah, Jan, does that work in a marriage? I'm not married, but you tell me, does that work? Damned if you do, damned if you don't. You can come talk to me afterwards, Will Skinner. But I've learned to speak life into Monica because she's a creation of God, That she is a daughter of God, that she is righteous, and I speak that over her because that's my place. It's not my place to speak the wrong things in her life. But I trust the Holy Spirit, that if I've got a problem with Monica, I don't need to go to her. I can trust the Holy Spirit for it. And that is my job to affirm her and to build her up and to release her into her calling. Why? But why do we look for the living amongst the dead? And I believe that there are people here sitting here, you've been introduced to the wrong Jesus, and that makes me not so happy. I went to go watch that Noah movie on Tuesday, and I walked out of there, and I was so angry. Like, ask Nalita, I wanted to swear. I probably did swear. No, I didn't swear. Speak life, Nalita. It's not your job to convict. Yeah, I didn't swear. But I was so angry. A complete misrepresentation of God. Besides the fact that it was actually really lame, I was just angry because, you know, this is my God. You're portraying him to be this baby killer, basically. That makes me angry. I don't like that. And I believe that some of you sitting here today have met that false Jesus, the one who says, you're doing this wrong in your life, you're doing that wrong in life, you're not reading your Bible enough, you're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And I want to introduce you to the real Jesus tonight. And maybe you've been a Christian for 5 years, maybe you're not a Christian at all, but I want to introduce you to a Jesus who died for your sins and then rose again. Because Friday is gone. The day of your sins is gone. And nobody should bring them. Nobody has the right to bring them up but the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit's job. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts and leads towards repentance. But my job is a ministry of reconciliation. I want to read this scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God who was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. A ministry of reconciliation requires you not to hold people up to a standard of their flesh. That is not your job. You do not have a ministry of judgment. You do not have a ministry of judgment. You have a ministry of reconciliation. And just as we do not hold Christ to his flesh, we cannot hold other people to their flesh. It's not our job. My job is to introduce you to Jesus. Your job is to introduce other people to Jesus. That is your job. If you've experienced people telling you what a bad Christian you are because of X, Y, and Z, they have introduced you to the wrong Jesus. Because nobody needs to tell me that I'm in a bad place. Nobody needs to tell me what's going on. Show me how to get out of it. Light up my path. Illuminate my feet. Where must I go? I'm here, I'm stuck. Where must I go? Don't tell me about how I'm in this hole. I know. You don't need to tell me that. You guys know what you need to work on. So if that is you tonight, then I'd like you to come forward. But for now, I'd just like you to turn to one another, twos or threes, or however you feel. And I just want you to testify something about what Christ has done in your life. Because that is what we're going to speak about. We're going to speak about who Christ was. I can guarantee you no testimony ever started with, well, this guy told me everything that I did wrong, and now I'm saved. I can guarantee you that even the smallest testimony that you have starts with how amazing Jesus was. So there was a word earlier as well for somebody who experienced physical abuse, either by nobody specific, father, mother, nobody. Okay, whatever physical abuse you have experienced, if you can come forward and we'll pray for that as well. But otherwise, we're going to talk about who Jesus was now. So whatever you'd like to share, even the smallest thing. And if you'd like to come forward for anything, if you're feeling sick or anything like that, come forward. We'd love to pray for you. Okay? Thank you.